Our Old Testament scripture lesson is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verses 1 through 3 and 4a. But now thus says the Lord, the one who created you, O Jacob, the one who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned. And the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. You are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you.
Our New Testament lesson this morning comes from 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Will you pray with me? May the words of our mouths and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now I'd like to invite forward Linda Cohn for our conversational sermon series. Thanks
Before
for joining me up
start,
here.
I just want to say how incredibly touching it is to be in a service with scripture that I love, hymns that I love. It feels so good to be here.
Yes. Well, thank you for suggesting the scripture and the hymns. That's one of the fun parts of these sermons, I think, is getting to put together the service that will speak to the broader topic. And we're so glad and grateful that you're here and willing to share with us this morning. We're not going to talk only about your accident, but we're going to start there. Most of you probably know that Linda was hit by a car right up front of the church November, almost 3 years ago. And then it's been a long journey with ups and downs along the way. And I wanted to ask, and you wanted to start with, where have you seen God in that long recovery process since your accident?
I think absolutely where I have seen God in my recovery is the people who have been so supportive of us, starting with my dear husband from the very moment when I was out on the pavement, all the way through intensive care and hospitalization and rehab and assisted living, and now into our new home in a senior community, Waterstone. But not just my husband, our sons have been incredible. I would like to think we have some of the credit for how good they turned out, but I know it isn't so. We did our best, but they're just decent people, and they have been wonderful. And our siblings, and our church friends, and our neighbors, and my colleagues from teaching, it's been wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. That's, I think it was Teresa of Avila who said that Christ has no hands or feet now but ours, and it sounds like that's been true for you all, that people have shown up in so many ways, large and small, and that's a big way you felt God's presence. So some people might not know that this was not your first rodeo, unfortunately, with a major car accident. You had one in your 20s when you were teaching in Concord and spent a couple years recuperating. Can you tell us something that your mom said that you had shared with me that helped you get through another very difficult recovery period?
Absolutely. This is evidence of my long history of learning to walk again. It's a more than 50-year-old cane that has seen me through a lot of ups and downs over the years. Meanwhile, my mom, I had an incredible mom who had a lot of hardships herself, and her style was didactic. She liked to give people advice. And I can remember in my first accident when my mom came out here, and then I went back and lived with my parents while I was recuperating. My mom would say to me over and over, "Linda, you don't have any choice about things that happen to you in life. The only choice you have is how you're going to react to it, and that's up to you." Mm. And that really stuck with me then, and it's funny, I don't remember this recent accident. I don't remember being hit by the car. I don't remember being on the pavement or the ambulance coming or being in intensive care. I don't even remember much about the early days in the hospital. But I do remember slowly becoming aware that something really big and bad had happened to me. It's funny because they kind of protect you from it while you're recuperating. But I can remember thinking about it and thinking, oh my goodness, this is really something. And I sort of latched on to my mom's words then that the only choice I would have is how I would respond to it. And I was sort of pondering how I would respond to it, you know, telling myself all the things one does about how I would stay upbeat and I would try really hard and I would, you know, whatever. And I remembered something that Phyllis Roberts said to me. A lot of you knew Phyllis Roberts. She was a longtime Park Avenue member, choir member, you know, stalwart every Sunday in church member. I used to visit Phyllis both when she lived in her big house on Park Avenue and after she moved to Carlton Willard. And one day, I went out to Carlton Willard to visit with her, and she had just had the news that she needed to move from her little apartment there at Carlton Willard to the nursing home section. Of course, she was in her mid-90s by then. But meanwhile, she said to me, "You know, Linda, I hate it. I don't want to leave this apartment. It feels like home. But I am determined not to spend the rest of my life being miserable about something over which I have no control." And that really struck me, that what I wanted to do in my recovery is not spend the rest of my life being miserable because I did have control over the attitude with which I spent the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And those two things helped me get through.
Yeah. I feel like, the flowers today are dedicated to Don's mom and your mom and to Phyllis. I think those are some of the saints in your lives. Those, not perfect people, but folks whose wisdom or insight stay with us and help us feel that we're not alone and help us feel God's presence through big changes. I mean, you all were not able to move back to your home. You had to change to being at Waterstone. That's a lot. And I know too, we've talked multiple times about how even when you're choosing overall to have a good attitude, there are hard days and it's not all sunshine and rainbows. And that's okay. You don't have to be perfect and strong, but that overall you can choose to keep trying to have that good attitude or to see the blessings and see the good things in a hardship.
that there have been hard times, no question about it. I think what I have tried to do is deal with the hard times myself and not impose them on Don and on the people who come to visit us and on our dear minister. You know, of course there are hard times, but I could deal with them and tell myself they're not going to be permanent. I'll make this.
Yeah.
And I am making it. You can see I'm not as well as I was before the accident. I doubt if I ever will be again, but I'm well enough to have a good life.
Yeah, yeah. Just a PSA, you may impose on your dear minister if you are having a hard time. That's and I wouldn't say impose, but we have talked about it when it's felt like so many folks are doing so much for me already, and it's still hard, and I'm one of those safe places to talk about that, and I know that you have others in life too. Let's change gears just a little bit, because even though these accidents have been big turning points in your life, it's not the whole of who you are. And most folks may know, may not know, that you were the Christian Education Director here at Park Avenue for 13 years, and also that you taught school. You were the coordinator for the Elementary Gifted and Talented program in Arlington. And I wanted you to talk, to share a little bit about your philosophy in both of those roles about kind of finding, well, I'll let you say it, but how you looked at each person, whether it was a kid or an adult, related to you through those, or connected to you through those programs.
You know, yeah, I'm glad that we're talking a little about my career, which was a three-part career, not all the same thing, because I don't want to be defined as the person who was hit by a car. I'd much rather be defined as the teacher. Anyway, but I loved teaching. I felt called to teach. And I felt called to try to make every child I worked with feel that I recognized the real person they were with all their strengths and all their unique characteristics. And I worked at that. I had, this was in the 1960s, I mean, I'm old. And in the 1960s, there was a lot of dividing up by ability. We had four fourth grades. And we had a top group, a middle group, and a low group, depending on skills in things like reading and math and things like that. And I got permission to be out of the top, middle, bottom characteristics. I had a class which we defined as underachievers. And they were people who may not have the skills yet, but we sensed that there was more to them than we were seeing. Mm. And I felt it was important for them to be recognized for the more that we could see in them. Mm-hmm. And actually, parents appreciated that, to have a group like that.
Yeah.
And one of the things is, after my first accident, I spent several months teaching part-time in the mornings only, and having to go back at noon to my apartment in Cambridge. And these parents of my underachievers organized, and every day a parent picked me up at school at noon and drove me back to Cambridge.
Wow.
And that meant a lot, and I think it meant that they liked their kids being recognized for who they were, not just some category.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And that's
then
really powerful.
Like, I do have a three-part career. Every single one of my jobs I loved. I loved being Christian Education Director here. I loved working with the Gifted and Talented program in the Arlington Public Schools. And I sort of see that it went in a progression from my trying to see and respond to what was inside of each kid and could be reached, to parents and other teachers. It's sort of a theme that I have worked out over the years of my teaching.
Yeah.
And I think people appreciated it, and I know the you may not know, Arlington had a gifted and talented program in the elementary schools. They don't anymore. Since I've retired, they don't. But it was not a program I invented, but it was one that I loved. Instead of giving an IQ test and saying, here's the cutoff, you're in the gifted and talented program if you hit over this score and you're not if you don't, we had six different categories, and I did 6 units a year for kids that were strong in language, okay, in math, in visual skills, which might show up as art or it might show up more as a mathematical kind of thing, recognizing, like geometry uses visual skills. There was creative thinking, creative in the sense of storytelling and that kind of thing. There was inventive thinking, kids that might someday invent something, but, and the last one was interpersonal and leadership skills, and there are kids who are extremely talented in that, and so in each of my units, I had a group of kids that were picked out to be strong in that area, and I tried to do things that would build on their strengths and make them feel good about themselves. Mm.
We talked about how, you know, as we had with Jude last week, you say, well, you work in a church, that's obvious kind of where you see God or where God shows up. But I think when you work in a non-faith-related field, without evangelizing or saying, oh, this is what I believe, you lived out that we're each made in God's image and we each have worth and that there's something special about us and that deserves to be recognized and nurtured. And you really taught me that here too. You know, over the years we've talked about how to get more volunteers for things, or, and you said, you know, it makes such a difference when you reach out to someone and say, I think you'd be great for the cookie walk, could you bake some cookies? Or would you like to be a liturgist? That when you kind of give an open call for volunteers, most people don't respond, but when you individually say to someone, I see this in you, or I think there's potential here, it makes us feel like we matter. It makes us, I think it's not too little to say that helps us know that we have worth in God's eyes too. I think that's a big theological thing that you do in all that ties together all of your careers.
I think that I never drew a line between what I did for work, which was doing what I loved, and what I did in the rest of my life. And I have spent years in this church learning the names of new people and trying to help new people find a place where they'd be a valued part of the community.
Yeah.
And I think it's important.
Yeah, yeah. I think that ties into our second scripture we read too, that love is of God, and that when we love one another, then we know. And again, whether it's in a secular setting or not. Thank you so much for sharing with us today and sharing where you have experienced God and learning more about, you know, the whole of who you are and not just kind of the big headlines. I think you are definitely a saint for some folks in this church, where your experience and response to various things in life is something that we carry with us. So thank you for being here.
Well, thank you. You know, it means a lot to be here this morning. I really am grateful. I think one of the things in all my long recuperation these last 2.5 years is I have really rejoiced in the fact that you, Leah, and you folks still thought of me as a real person, not a person who was injured, not whatever, but that I still have something I can contribute.
Yeah, yeah. You may not know, but Linda's still proofreading bulletins and helping us think through things like the membership directory refresh and all sorts of things. So thank you for living into that truth that you have practiced for so many people for so long and the gift that that's been.
Yeah. Thank you.
People say, and.
I think this morning's sermon definitely fulfilled those last couple lines of our hymn. As you go out into this world and out into this week, hear again these words from Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, the one who created you, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, you are precious in my sight, and I love you. Go in peace.